Sitting in Puri here, his name is Ramananda Rai. You please go and he will explain to you the meaning. So he went to Ramananda Rai. Now he went and then he was told that, you know, Ramananda Rai is busy, so you have to wait for some time. He said, okay, I'll wait. And he kept waiting. He went in the morning. So he kept waiting. It was noon time. Then the noon started passing and this person became desperate. He said, I mean, what is so important and urgent? You know, I have come, I am a Brahmin, and you know, at least he should come and say, please wait for some time and go back. You know, no communication whatsoever. So he became really disturbed. So he said, let me find out what is he doing. So he went to the back of the house and peeped inside. And he was shocked. What Ramananda Rai was doing, that he was massaging the bodies of young women with oil. And he was taken for a surprise. He says, follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the greatest of all renunciation, he is massaging the body of women with oil. And thanks to our old, not so developed technology, he didn't have a smartphone and WhatsApp. I'm sure he would have taken clippings and sent to all the people and started convincing them that don't do all this. See what is this Ramananda Rai doing. Luckily, there was nothing like that at that time. But he straight away went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Again, very fortunate. Because he was confused. And in Bhagavad Gita, in one place, Arjuna says that, he says, Lord Krishna, etan me samshayam Krishna, ichum, what is that? Chetum? I forgot the verse. But he says that, only Krishna, you can dispel my doubt. And this Brahman was so fortunate that he could straight away go to Krishna actually in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and expressed his doubt. He said, I saw something like this. And you say that he is your devotee. And you are saying that he can explain to me the intricacies of rasa. Well, I just see him as a sensual person. What is he doing? How can he explain me the intricacies of Krishna Tattva? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very grave. And Mahaprabhu said, he said, I am a sannyasi. And he said, if I even see a woman, I will get disturbed in my mind. He said, but Ramananda Rai is a very, very exalted Nitya Siddha Paramhamsa Vaishnava. He said, for Ramananda Rai, even when he is touching the body of a woman, it's like touching the body of a wooden doll. It's nothing more to him than simply wood. His senses are so controlled. And he is such an advanced Vaishnava. And why Ramananda Rai was doing it? Because we understand that this Vishakha Sakhi in the spiritual world, of whom the incarnation was Ramananda Rai, her favorite service is to decorate the bodies of beautiful gopis so that they can dance for the pleasure of Lord. And these women were going to dance for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath. And in that same mood he was doing that service. But for ordinary people, it was completely confusion. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, and he says so nicely, he says that unless you are on the level of Ramananda Rai, you cannot follow this. And he says there are so many rascals who try to imitate this, and we need not discuss anything further on this matter. And this closes the topic. Prabhupada doesn't describe anything in detail on what those rascals do. But he just says that so many rascals imitate it, and we need not discuss anything beyond this matter. So, the question comes, for an ordinary person like you and me, how do we understand this fact? How do we understand such type of extreme behaviors which are, from the social perspective, abnormal? How can we do it? So, I was trying to analyze within this mind, and I came across a nice analogy which I would like to share. And please correct me if I'm wrong. So, in physics, those who have studied, there's a concept of natural frequency. How many of you have studied it? As a concept of natural frequency. Now, if you see the definition of natural frequency, it is mentioned, natural frequency is a frequency in which a particular object vibrates or oscillates in absence of any dampening. Correct? That means if there is no dampening, now I'll come to what is dampening. If there is no dampening, then the frequency at which an object will oscillate or vibrate is known as its natural frequency. This is normal physics. Now, for example, if I take a rubber band like this and hold it in my two hands, right? And if you just pull it from the middle and leave it, what happens? There's a toing. And the toing is like a toing. It's like that type of sound, right? It's a specific sound that comes. Then it stops. It doesn't keep on vibrating forever. Why does it stop? Because there is dampening. Right? So there are these intramolecular forces within those rubber and then the air friction also. And because of that, it ultimately dampens down and stops. It cannot keep moving in its natural frequency. Right? So you get that toing, that type of sound. Correct? Same principle is used in all the string instruments. So you take guitar, you take violin, you take sitar or sarod or that tang 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 tang, I don't remember that instrument's name. You know. So take any string instrument, it is the same principle. You know, you vibrate it, and then because of the dampening effect, that sound, the vibration comes down, and the combination of that vibration and then dampening gives a very beautiful sound. Like that. Correct? Now imagine if a musical string instrument's wire, there is no dampening effect. That means once you move it, it keeps moving continuously. That is natural frequency. It just keeps. Will a musician be able to play any instrument? Because you know, if I make a toing in my guitar, you know, and then I press it accordingly, the string, and take it ahead or back, there's a particular dampening that's going to happen and that's going to produce a nice sound. Correct? If this there's no dampening, that means the wire keeps on moving constantly, and the musician will become mad. He said, what's happening? No matter how much he tries to produce a melody out of it, he'll completely become mad. So a wire of music oscillating with a natural frequency is abnormal, because he expects there has to be a dampening and it has to come down. And then that dampening along with that frequency produces a nice sound. Imagine in your eardrums, you know, the ears are also vibrating. They also vibrate and there's a dampening, so they stop. Imagine I speak something and your eardrum keeps on vibrating with natural frequency. You're not going to understand anything what anybody is speaking. It's like gong, 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 gong. What's happening? Right? Because it's continuously vibrating. There's no dampening effect. Now take this analogy exactly and apply it with a living entity. You know, the natural frequency of a living entity is that it's a servant of Krishna. Because Jivara Swarupa hai Krishna Nitya Das. But because we are staying in the material world, there's a huge dampening effect given by the ignorance. Right? So we want to express our love, that is natural frequency, and it gets dampened by lust. We want to express our love of charity, it gets dampened by greed. And this constant oscillation with natural frequency and dampening is what we call as a normal behavior. Correct? So in our sense of understanding, something that oscillates and is dampened down is called normal. But for a pure devotee, there is no dampening effect. It's just natural frequency, because there is no ignorance in the heart. So whatever he does and whatever he enacts is obviously going to be abnormal from your point of view. Because you feel, "Arey, how can he do like this?" Because there is no dampening effect. We have to understand that. So Tukaram Maharaj, when he is just going in the forest writing his bhajans, he is actually behaving on his natural frequency. And in your eyes, he is always going to be abnormal, because there is no dampening effect. When Ramananda Rai is massaging the bodies of these women, it is in his natural frequency. From your point of view, it is never going to work. Because for you, you expect the dampening to happen. Otherwise, it is not normal. Similarly, any personality, if you take example of Mirabai, there has been so many accusations since time immemorial on her behavior. But people fail to understand that she is performing in her natural frequency. Right? And we see the same example in Srimad Bhagavatam, even in the episode of Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj was because everybody expected Prahlad Maharaj to be a good student and not a devotee of Krishna. But for Prahlad Maharaj, it was natural to be a devotee of Krishna because that was his natural frequency. And Shanda and Amarka were trying to dampen it down, but it was not going to happen. He said, I am like a force of small piece of iron. And wherever there is Krishna, I am attracted just like a magnet. You see, if there is a piece of iron, it's a very strong magnet. The only situation in which that iron filing will not get attracted to the magnet, if it's covered with thick rust. If there is no rust, it's just going to go and stick it. Right? I remember the example of in our temple, and actually his disappearance is approaching very soon. There was a great Vanaprastha. His name was Abhiram Gopal Prabhu. I don't know if you remember. Those of you stayed here. You remember him? Abhiram Gopal Prabhu. And he told us a nice story once. He was a Vanaprastha staying in temple. He was from Bengal. So he said one day, he was a small child and he came out from his bathroom. So he took a bath and he came out from the bathroom and he was wearing his pant. So he was not yet. So he was like covered by four directions, as they say it in scriptures. So he had not even put his pant yet. And suddenly, from out of the house, passed a Sankirtan party. And he was like that iron particle without any rust. Because he was a small boy and he must have performed huge amount of devotion life in his past life. He just left his pant and ran behind the Sankirtan party. Just like that. And for ordinary people, it must be an abnormal behavior. But he was demonstrating his natural frequency. He was just running because that's what his heart said. The attraction of Krishna was unstoppable for him. He just ran away. Now, just trying to stretch this analogy a little bit. So what to do with those people who are not at their natural frequency? And most of us are not in our natural frequency because there's a huge dampening effect happening. So this theory of natural frequency says that somehow, because when you try to oscillate and when you try to vibrate, it's going to come down. It's going to dampen, it's going to come to zero again. But somehow if you're able to force that object to move in a natural frequency, artificially, then what happens? And there has been instances in the history of the world, around 4 to 5 instances. So there was one bridge in France, and this is in 1830. And there was a group of troops passing over the bridge. And you know, they march like cut, cut, cut. The steps also go in a particular frequency, and the sound also of whatever they were chanting, maybe the troops. So all that movement of the legs of the troops, I mean the soldiers, and the sound that were coming from their mouth, that started vibrating the bridge. And somehow that matched the natural frequency of the bridge. And what happened is that the amplitude of that vibration went on increasing, 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 until the bridge broke down. In Taipei, there was one building, and that building was started rocking because of an earthquake. And it just so happened that the vibration of the building because of the earthquake exactly matched the natural frequency of the building. And it went on vibrating, 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 it broke down. So if you are able to induce the natural frequency in an object, the object vibrates with such heavy oscillations that finally it just breaks down. So we are all spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna. So we also have our natural frequency. So Srila Prabhupada gave us that natural frequency vibration. Because we are not currently at natural frequency, we can try to force that natural frequency. And Srila Prabhupada called it as the transcendental sound vibration, which is non-different than the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So when you start vibrating your voice, when you start vibrating your heart with the holy name Hare Krishna, you are not realizing, but your heart is oscillating with natural frequency. That means the amplitude will increase and increase and increase and increase, and one day it will break the layer of ignorance. The layer of ignorance is so thick, the layer of false ego is so thick, it cannot be broken. But it's only this natural frequency, if you somehow, so this effect of moving an object with its natural frequency is known as resonance. So if you are able to resonate your heart with the holy name of Krishna, somehow, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Therefore, attention, absorption in chanting is very important. Because when absorbed in chanting of the holy name, it's just not your tongue that is vibrating, it's just not your throat that is vibrating, but your entire existence is vibrating with natural frequency. And that can break off the bonds of ignorance and help you attain the liberation that you have been hankering for life after life after life. So Srila Prabhupada called it in his classic explanation of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He said this is not an artificial imposition on the mind. What is the meaning that it is not an artificial imposition? That means it is natural frequency. It is natural. It is natural for the mind to oscillate, or it's natural for your soul to oscillate with the frequency of the holy name. Srila Prabhupada just gave it to us. So just take it. So in that view, we can understand that it is scientific. Right? And when you do that, what happens? You know, there's huge amplitudes. Correct? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calls it as Anandam Ambudhi Vardhanam. Right? So the amplitudes of ecstasy, they don't dampen. Because in the material world, no, because luckily the frequency is also shown like a wave in graphical representation. So this waves of ecstasy, Anandam Ambudhi Vardhanam, it just goes on increasing and increasing and increasing. There is no stoppage. Because it's natural frequency. It's as simple as that. Now somebody, smart person, he may come forward and argue. And he may say that, you know, I don't need all this, your natural frequency, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, because I'm already in my natural frequency. You know, because so many people say like that. You know, I'm already at my natural frequency. In fact, you may even see people saying that, oh, I'm already in my Gopi Bhav. Because I am in natural frequency, I'm already establishing and relishing my natural mellows of Krishna in my normal life. So I don't like all this sadhana bhakti and oscillating in natural frequency and all that. It's all rubbish stuff. So how do you determine if somebody is really is oscillating in his natural frequency or not? And that so wonderfully Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur finds out in his purport. And the brilliance of Srila Prabhupada disciple, that is put as the first line of the purport. And here Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti explains that the gopis gave up their sense of possessiveness towards these objects. Very powerful purport. Now I'll just give a small background to this. So, you know, in my office sometimes they call certain big, big celebrities to come and give lectures. And then before I say this, I beg forgiveness from all the Matajis that I don't have anything. But you just listen to this. It's a nice story. So the CEO of Radio City, now she's a woman. And I think she's one of the few CEOs in Mumbai who actually has reached the level of a chief executive officer of a company. You know, Radio City is a FM channel. It comes on the radio. Devotees may not be knowing it. So, because our frequency is different. Their frequency is different. Correct. Anyway. So the Radio City, she's the CEO of Radio City. And she came to give a lecture. And the topic of her lecture was, "Oh lady, you are not a man." That was a lecture. So very nice. She has written a book also. If you Google for it, this is a book available. "Oh lady, you are not a man." Now, I don't advise all of you to go and read the book. Because there could be certain thoughts expressed which are not necessarily completely devotional. But this particular part was very interesting. So she was encouraging women that she was saying that, you know, all of you should, there is no need to leave your jobs. He said, women do not go to a particular level of a career because they generally leave the job in between. And she was giving techniques to explain to the ladies in my office that how you can just continue with your job. Now, I'm not saying that you should all follow this, but just, so it's very interesting. What happened was very interesting. So I liked it. So I'm sharing it with you. So she said that, you know, at our home we are there. And she said, the maid is there in the house. Right? And the maid can cook for the husband if required. But many women come home from office, they are very tired. And the husband says, okay, let me cook chapatis for you. And the husband says, no, it's fine. The maid has already cooked the food. And it's nice. I will just have that. There's no need. He said, no, I want to cook for you. And although that all office hard work effort, she will put the roti and everything and she will cook and then she will be tired completely. Husband said, no, just take a rest. She said, no, I want to cook for you. And sometimes there could be a child in the house and the mother-in-law is already there in the house. Right? And the mother-in-law says, no, don't worry, you just be focused on your job. I'll take care of the child very nicely. And the husband also tells the wife, he says, don't worry, my mom is there to take care of. But she said, no, still she will do it. She will say that, look at yourself, the way she has raised you, I don't want my child to be like this. I mean, she was saying like this. So I will raise my child myself. So she will make compromises in the job and come and not do that. So food, about job, she will want to do everything herself. Then she looked at all the ladies sitting on the audience. And she said, please tell me, all of you, why do we do like this? Why do we want to do everything ourselves for our husband? And one lady raised her hand. And she said, please tell me. And she said, because we are possessive. She said, yes, that is the reason. She says, because you are possessive. And it's not that only women have this problem. Even men also have this problem a lot. So we all want to be very possessive. But somehow, somebody who has taken the body of a woman, this particular aspect is much more. And here, in the purport, see what it is mentioned. It says, history shows that the gopis remained in Vrindavan, living in their houses with their families. So history shows this. However, unlike ordinary persons, they entirely renounced the egoistical sense of possession of sons and husbands and so on. So one very powerful factor which can cause the dampening of our natural frequency in our life is this sense of possessiveness that we have. And very wonderfully it is brought out in a story in Srimad Bhagavatam. And again, all of you know that story, but we'll again discuss it for our purification. And because it is in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained in terms of the celestial personalities who appear in Srimad Bhagavatam. But it can be very much happen with any of us. Right. So we see that, and that episode will soon come in few chapters of 10th canto. So we see Lord Krishna, after he killed the Bhomasur demon, he took the earrings of Mother Diti. So Diti is the mother of all the demigods. She is the mother of all the demigods. And Bhomasur had captured the earrings of Aditi. And after Krishna killed Bhomasur, he married all the women who were captured by him. And he also took those earrings back. Now Lord Krishna, just to give these earrings back to Indra, all the way went up to heavenly planets. And he didn't go alone. He went with his good wife, Satyabhama. Now that itself is a gesture of, because if you see, we know the demigods are the agents appointed by Supreme Personality of Godhead to perform particular task. Right? So, apparently, if you see the Vishnu aspect of the Lord, that relationship is something like an employer and an employee. Because you have good skill sets, I mean, there is no interview, because Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He understands, directly appointed on a particular level, because you have that ability, right? But how do an employer typically relates to an employee? Today morning only I got a small joke on WhatsApp, and I just remembered it, I'm sharing with you. So an employer, he is traveling with an employee in his nice BMW car, and that employee just enjoys the ride of BMW. All BMW car, right? This is one of the top. I mean, the cost of a BMW car is the cost of a 1 BHK flat in Mira Road, probably. Or maybe more than that. So you would rather just buy a car and stay in the car. I mean, it's that costly. And they even advertise it like that. I don't know if you ever happened to see the advertisement of... They advertise that people are sitting nicely on their sofa. The advertisement of the car is like that. People are sitting nicely on the sofa, the husband is sitting nicely, the child is playing nicely, and then the camera goes on the window. And then on the window you see the road moving like this. And again then the camera goes inside and you see them sitting in the car. So it's so comfortable. that is like just staying in your house. So this employee becomes just so happy. He, after the ride is over, he comes out and he says to the boss, he says, "Boss, this is great. I liked it." And the boss very nicely and gravely looks at the employee and says, he says, "So what? If you can work more hard, if you can work for some extra hours on weekends, if you can achieve all the targets that are assigned to you," and then takes a pause. And the employee is just thinking, okay, I got the secret of how I'm supposed to succeed at my year-end interview. And the boss says, "If you do all this, next year I'll be able to buy one more car like this." So the very gravely, recently there was in my office, there was a kind of seminar and they were introducing some different processes, like, you know, this is how we should improve our this is how we should improve our this, and so many things were told. And it was quite fascinating. So after the whole thing was over, I went and talked to the person. He says, "Do you feel that this is all possible in our current scenario? I mean, this is all nice to hear. We will achieve all this, we'll do all this. Do you think it's all possible?" He became again very grave. He looked at me. He said, "You know why we are doing all this?" I said, "Why?" He said, "We are doing it all for my boss's promotion." So this is how it is. I mean, in the material world, you are supposed to just exploit your subordinate to achieve. But for Krishna, there is nothing to achieve. He's already Rasaraj. He's already Lakshmipati. He's already Ramesh. For him, there's nothing to achieve. So can you imagine someone like that? He went all the way to heavenly planets on his, sitting on his Garuda, along with his wife. I mean, suppose you have been calling some elite person, maybe say Krishna Chandra Prabhu, just give an example, in our temple. And Krishna Chandra Prabhu is driving in his car and he realizes, oh, this devotee's house is close by and I'm supposed to go to his house. So he just stops the car, visits, and then goes away. So that's one level of courtesy. Right? But Krishna Chandra Prabhu going home, dressing up nicely, picking up his wife, Radha Priya Mataji, and both coming to your house, that's an altogether different level of courtesy. And that's what Krishna did. Just to give back the earrings of Diti. And in this material world, you know, you see, suppose you have something and somebody other person wants it. The person whose need it is, that person has to travel. That is a simple norm. You have something and other person wants it, you just call him, "Hey, isko bhijwa do, collect kar lo mere se." You know, that's what you typically say. If you have something which is to be given and you're going to get money in return, and if that person doesn't give money, then you are at loss, then you will go travel all the way and give that thing to him. Otherwise, you will not go. So Krishna could have said, "Oh, you Narad Muni keeps coming so many times. I'll send it with Narad Muni. You know, I'll send it with some demigod. You send some demigod. I'll send that earrings with you." He personally went, gave that earring to Indra. And you know, when he just did that, Satyabhama, as they were flying over the Nandana Gardens, she saw that wonderful tree of Pariyat flower. And it was amazing. So she could recollect that Rukmini had got a similar Pariyat flower previously. And here is a nice... So she requested her, "I want one more Pariyat flower from here. I also want to take." And Krishna said, "Okay, why flower? I'll give the whole tree to you." So Krishna has to make everyone happy, right? His wife is there. So he said, "Okay, I'll give the whole tree. What's the problem?" Krishna just picked up the whole tree of Pariyat flower. "Okay, I'll take it back." Now Indra, when he came to know this, he became furious. Furiously angry. Now what is there in a small tree? I mean, you have the whole garden to enjoy for you. Right? There are so many apsaras for enjoying for you. And there's just one tree which is there. Of course, Pariyat tree is not a very ordinary tree. Radhanath Maharaj was explaining that if one Pariyat flower comes to Chaupati temple, actually, from the heaven, then entire Mumbai will get the fragrance of Pariyat. That's the original Pariyat flower from... So it's definitely not ordinary, but as compared to Indra and the luxury that he enjoys, it's substandard in one sense. And Krishna just took that. Indra became angry. Right? So this is the height of possessiveness. He became so angry that he actually declared a war along with all the company of demigods to fight with Krishna. And you know, obviously, Krishna is Achyuta, he is infallible. So Krishna just defeated them in one shot with his Sudarshan Chakra and just took the flower anyways and the whole tree back to earth. Right? So this is a sense of height of possessiveness. So, and he actually was humiliated some years back in the entire Govardhan Leela. He completely forgot all that and still became so possessive. So we all can become very possessive of so many things in our own life. Right? So whenever you get this kind of urge or kind of false realization in the heart that maybe I am now reaching my natural frequency, then you should really introspect and analyze that, do I have possessiveness? Possessiveness about my seva, possessiveness about the people whom I am preaching to, possessiveness about anything. And sometimes, you know, the worst thing is that you have possessiveness about yourself also. For example, you know, sometimes you see people and you talk to a person and say that, you know, Prabhuji, why did you do like this? And the person says, you know, I am like this only. I am a very straightforward person. If somebody speaks to me something, I also give back. Because I am a very straightforward person. So, but if that straightforwardness is not helping you to preach Krishna consciousness, what is the use of that straightforwardness? You may have your natural traits and you are very possessive about it. You know, I am like that only. You know, I know people are multitasking, but I am not multitasking. I do things very slow and nicely, but I am doing perfection. But if that doing slow and nicely and doing perfection, if it's not helping to spread the movement of Krishna consciousness, what is the use of that perfection? So person has to introspect and understand that, yes, I have my anarthas, but he should not be possessive about those things. He should be thinking that, okay, if they are not helping to preach Krishna consciousness, they are not helping to me to advance in Krishna consciousness, they are not helping to help others in Krishna consciousness, let me not do it. Let me change. I have to change. Correct? So one should not be possessive about anything in this world. So Raghunandan Maharaj, in his one lecture I was hearing, he was saying, and actually what happens when you actually give up this possessiveness, that actually gives rise to humility. So this was a question in my mind for a long time. I was hearing this lecture of Radhana Swami Maharaj, and he was saying that humility needs to be cultivated. He says it's not that by simply attentive chanting you will become humble one day. It is not possible. Humility needs a separate effort of cultivating it. And how do you cultivate humility? You understand cultivation? That means, just like chanting the holy names is compared to watering the seed. And humility is compared to cultivating the land. So, when you cultivate the land, what happens? You know, you have to put that plow inside, and you have to take out all the dirt which is there inside. And you have to just open up everything. So cultivating means you have to actually go inside and just bring all the dirt out and throw it away. Otherwise the cultivation doesn't take place. And it's not going to be a pleasurable experience. I am sure every devotee, before he experiences a major change in his devotional life, he has to face his own background face to face with another person. Right? Where you are literally, I don't know how many of you have faced it, but it happens to everybody, that you are face to face with another person and he is just kind of plowing your heart. Just pulling out everything. That could be your spiritual master, most likely. Because other Vaishnavas will remain polite and they will not do it. But that plowing of heart is sometimes required, you know, before that seed can actually start cultivating into a nice tree. So humility needs to be cultivated, and the way we can cultivate humility is by giving up the possessiveness. It's very important. We have to give up the possessiveness that we have. So we need to perform our seva as if we are possessive, as if we are attached, but then internally we should be willing to give up the possessiveness. Otherwise it will simply act as a huge dampener for our natural frequency. You're chanting the holy name, you're resonating your heart and existence with your natural frequency, but this possessiveness will act like a huge, you know, heavy pendulum just tying you back down. So this is very important, and this is what we learn from this purport. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked us that we should follow in the footsteps of the gopis. And this is what the purport nicely explains. What it really means to follow in the footsteps of gopis. It actually means just to give up your sense of possession. Do your best, but one needs to give up that sense of possession. If you are able to do that, and Uddhav is glorifying the gopis for that. So in this way we can reconcile the two things. There could be an abnormal behavior exhibited by some person, but if in his natural lifestyle, if you can see that the person is not possessive, the person is compassionate, the person is able to exhibit this property of let go. You know, this let go is a very important thing. It doesn't happen in our hearts so easily. We should be willing to do that, you know, let go. Just, let's let go. At some point in time, you have to let go. I just, again, remembering something. Recently, last year, there was a movie, animation movie. And in that, there was a song which became very famous all over America. And the song is Let Go. It's a song. It's just called Let Go. So, it became famous. But believe me, it's easy said than done. You know, you can hear the song Let Go and be very happy about it, but very difficult to practice. If all the politicians all over the world are able to just practice this one principle of let go, the world will be a very happy place. Because people are possessive. People are possessive about oil reserves, people are possessive about gold reserves, possessive about diamond reserves, possessive about water resources. Right? Nobody says let go. And all the wars happen through this. All the violence happens through this. Simple principle of just giving up the possessiveness of our heart. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said that if we want to bring peace in this world, we have to preach Krishna consciousness. So somebody has to become that mouse who will tie the bell in the cat's neck. Somebody has to become that. So preacher, that's why a preacher is so worshipped, and why Krishna likes preachers so much. And Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that preachers are very dear to me because they are willing to take that heavy bell of preaching message and willing to take in the neck of the cat, that my dear cat, give up your possessiveness. Krishna likes his devotees and preachers so much. He says, yes, they are more dear to me. Because you know, when he does that, what is going to happen? He is probably going to get a ham. What happened to Nityananda Prabhu when Jagai Madai? I forgot the picture was here sometime back. Because when you want to go and put that in the cat's neck, the cat is going to bite you. But that's what the devotee does. And that is devotee's natural frequency. And that may be abnormal for society. Society may say, what are you doing, nonsense, going and preaching to Jagai Madai? But that was his natural frequency. And Krishna says, when you do like that, I become very happy with you. Okay. So this is how we can understand this verse. And these extraordinary qualities of gopis and Uddhav's glorification for them. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna. Anybody has any comments, questions? Okay, we'll end here. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you.